Welcome to the Spiritual Gifts Podcast. I'm Sam Jackson, Gateway Redlands Campus Pastor, joined by Andrew Main. Welcome, Mainey.
Thank you, Ormo Campus Pastor. Great
yes,
to be here, Sam.
It's good to have you. Mate, we're talking about a gift in this episode that I think puts a shiver down the spine of most Christians.
Yep.
One that sort of makes us a bit uncomfortable in our seats. That gift is evangelism.
Yes.
Just riff for us, mate. Talk about the biblical overview of this gift.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Look, I'm not sure I've come across any spiritual gift that more people claim to not have and run away from than the gift of evangelism. Yeah. You are right. I think people hear that word and instantly go, oh, I'm not good at talking to people about Jesus. I think, though, one of the things that really establishes this conversation is that biblically we can't get away with that. Actually, part of the mission of every follower of Jesus is that we've been equipped to share the good news. You know, the Great Commission of Matthew 28, Jesus doesn't say to some, go out. He's like, here's the Great Commission, is to go and share the good news with all the nations of the world. And ironically, the word evangelist or evangelism isn't found that much in the scripture. But where it is mentioned, Ephesians 4, it says that, you know, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. The word evangelism in the Greek literally means to bring good news. So what is the gift of evangelism? It's being able to tell the good news of Jesus. Again, which I think is something we're all called to do, but it's clear through scripture that some people are just equipped by the Spirit of God to be able to bring great clarity, great passion. My experience of seeing those with the gift of evangelism is they cannot open their mouth without turning it into a gospel moment. And you just see that it just sits heavily on them. There's just such a passion to share the good news of Jesus. But I think in the context of how Paul writes in Ephesians to the church, part of that gift is, you know, he says the evangelist is one of the roles that equips the saints for the work of ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, the gift of evangelism isn't just about those outside the church, it's actually equipping the church itself and people within the church to be the bearers of the good news.
Mm.
I think that's where we start from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, you know, as we were talking before we hit record, evangelism isn't actually recorded as a gift. The person who is the evangelist is the one that Paul's saying is the gift of the church. And he says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the emphasis of what Paul's on about when it comes to being a gift. And we are delighted to have with us Eleanor Chiobo. Chiobo, have I...
Chobo.
I always want to go Chiobo, but it's Chobo.
Ah,
just pretend the I's an H. Yeah. You're not offended?
Think of chow.
Chow.
Chow bella. Mwah, mwah.
Yes, okay. Thank
C-I
you.
Is pronounced ch. So now at Gateway, you know how to say my name.
There you
fantastic,
go.
Fantastic. All right, evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
So, Eleanor, you resonate with this gift
of
being an evangelist and being a gift to the church. What's it look like for you? Take us right back to when you first started to sense that this was a calling for you, this is a spiritual gift.
Yeah, well, I just want to pick up, I guess, Sam, on what Andrew said, and that is as I got saved, as I came to know Jesus at a relatively older age, 21, nearly 22, I just, from the get-go, I mean, the good news, evangelism, euangelion, the good news, from where we take the word evangelism, it changed my life. And I couldn't help but from the very beginning recognize I've been given such a great blessing, sanctification, salvation in Christ, which really was good news. How many people are yet to hear the good news, the gospel? And so from the very beginning, from literally the next day I woke up after giving my life to the Lord, there was just such a passion in me to tell others.
Mm. How much does what we just talked about before resonate with you that it's not like this evangelism word puts a shiver down people's spines, but the role of the evangelist is to help equip others. So you started off with that passion to share your faith with other people and share it in a way that saw fruit, and it took you all over the world. What about that role as an evangelist to build up the church? And let me phrase the question this way. Why do you think it sends a shiver down people's spines? Why do people struggle so much to do the work of evangelism? As someone who's trying to train others, What's the resistance? What's going on?
Well, I do think it comes back to what Andrew said. A lot of people think, well, that's not me. Like, it's like cold turkey. I've just got to walk up to someone on the street, and when they go, oh, man, it's a hot day today, I have to somehow spin the conversation and go, well, there's a place hotter and it's called hell. You know, like, as in 3 minutes or less, I got to get it onto the topic of Jesus. And, I, you know, it kind of feels a bit like a slimy salesperson that I've got to close the deal and get the gospel in there somehow. And so I think for a lot of people, especially Aussies, you know, we're pretty informal. It just seems so like telemarketing to walk up to people and somehow I've got to convert them or convince them. And, you know, Aussies, we have no problem looking at someone and saying, hey, you know, well, we use probably swear words, but go your own way. I don't need to hear that. You know, and so I think a lot of people, that's how they view evangelism. And so naturally it'd be like me saying, hey, do you want to be a telemarketer and ring people and try and sell them something, you know?
So that speaks to me of evangelism being a long game, like relational and all that sort of thing. What does it look like for you over the years in terms of doing evangelism but also being an evangelist who raises others up?
Well, first of all, you can't take anyone where you're not yourself. So what I mean by that is if Jesus has changed your life, if you recognize literally the air I breathe, in him I live and move and have my being, then naturally the way I live my life is with that sense of reality and authenticity. So when it doesn't matter if I'm at the dog park here in Brisbane or I'm on a walk down at, you know, in the Redlands and I start chatting to somebody, it just so naturally just flows into, you know, maybe they're having a bad day or I'm in a coffee shop and the waitress is having a bad day, to just go, hey, can I pray for you? And, you know, like, I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, I was walking the dog early in the morning and I asked a man how he was. He was out gardening and he said, well, I'm still above the ground, you know, and so we started chatting, but I got an opportunity, even in that brief conversation. I ended up praying for him. His wife was going through a really hard time. I didn't go on a walk going, okay, I have to evangelize someone today.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, I don't know if that answered the question.
No, it does.
But it's just a natural, you know, I never see in the Gospels with the disciples where Jesus said, okay, dudes, now we're going to go and do evangelism, like it's in our schedule. It's Friday night, we're doing evangelism from 7 till 9. No, it was just natural as he walked along and he sat by the well or he was, it's just, I think it's got to be just authentic, natural, saying, God, give me the eyes to see. And
if we truly think about the word evangelism as bringing the good news, there are those moments, aren't there, where it's actually the, let me communicate the gospel story of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and then let me give you an opportunity to respond to that.
Totally.
But other times, if we're technically evangelism is actually, what's it look like to bring good news into this moment? So sometimes it takes a different shape than what we've probably almost thought is that 3-minute kind of call that we've often just reduced evangelism to. But if evangelism is all about bringing the good news, it's a whole life thing.
Yeah, I think, Andrew, I think a lot of people have this picture of the, you know, Billy Graham's, these big crusades, and yeah, they're evangelists, but how many of us can relate to that sitting in the pews here at Gateway?
Yeah.
You know, we don't relate to that. So naturally we say, I don't have that gift. But if we filter it down to evangelism being that, hey, I can be authentic with somebody and ask them how their day is, and maybe in that moment I have an opportunity to point them towards Jesus, to point them towards God. That's evangelism. And I have an opportunity to encourage someone on their walk and maybe to share the gospel about why Jesus came to this earth. Because, you know, we all know this. McCrindle research just from last year shows that one in every four Aussies would be open to being invited to come to church. So what I'm trying to say is, there's so many opportunities that it's not being a tele-evangelist. It's just being real and authentic with people.
I think sometimes people run away from this as well because the natural bent is, I wouldn't know what to say. So rather than seeing that as something that is an excuse, I want to throw a challenge out here. I think for all of us in our faith, finding the time and the space to get real clarity in our own heart about what the good news is and how I can articulate that is really important.
Totally.
I heard someone a little while ago just speaking about being at a dinner party and they were in a space, and they just didn't really feel like getting too deep into kind of faith conversations that night just because of their own. They were tired, and they said, but this conversation started up and I couldn't avoid it. Mm. He said, but I found myself with knowing I had 3 or 4 minutes and someone that was hungry. He's like, I needed to be able to articulate in that moment the good news. Mm. And so the challenge, I think, to everyone is, how do you articulate the good news? Now, so I've done it with people where I've unpacked the whole biblical journey, but sometimes you've just got 3 minutes. So what are you going to tell people about Jesus? Mm. And I think if you're going to do that, you've got to talk about his life, his death, his resurrection, and probably broken humanity and our response to him. But I think it's a challenge for everyone listening to this podcast is, how do you articulate the gospel?
And there really are, don't get me wrong, there are things that we can learn that help us to be able to articulate the good news from creation to, you know, one day eternity, to articulate that in a very concise and yet very clear way that actually makes sense to people. There are things that we can learn. And I think that's where, you know, I just give a plug here for courses like Scent, some of these short courses I'm running. We unpack what is the gospel and how do we share the gospel with people that we live, work and play with.
It seems to me that the way that this spiritual gift works, rather than like some of the other gifts, we think about, okay, this is the Spirit in me manifesting itself out of me into others. Whereas, like when you're talking before, Ellen, about that recent story of the neighbor who was out in his front lawn and had that funny remark, that was, you're trusting that the Spirit is guiding you to him, and the Spirit is working on him before you even arrive. Yep. It's like Philip with the Ethiopian, right?
Totally.
The Spirit directed him to go there and be present, and he obeyed, and and the Spirit, the spiritual gift was in the moment rather than necessarily in Philip.
It's so true, Sam. Mm. God is constantly working in people's lives. All we have to do is be attentive to God's invitation to come alongside of the Ethiopian, to come alongside...
Whoa.
To coming, that was my phone ringing.
Yeah, yeah.
To coming alongside of someone and being invited into that person's life.
I would say I've shared the good news with a lot of people, but I wouldn't say that I see myself as the gift of the evangelist, Sam. But probably the intangible of this one for me is that I have been in places where I feel like I've shared a very articulate story of Jesus and, you know, call people to response and gone, you know, God, what's happening here? And then I've seen someone else get up and it's just so obvious. And this is the intangible of this gift. I have seen people that you go, there is an evangelist. They just open their mouth and talk about Jesus. And it's like in that moment, the way the Spirit of God convicts people and brings them in and you know, like to speak to the judgmental side of myself at times, I'm like, you didn't say anything. You missed all the good points. But I have seen the gift at work. Like it's clear that the Spirit of God just equips some people in this space.
Let's sum this up. I think you've made some great points along the way to the person who's listening to this podcast, because not everyone is listening to this. The person who has done some kind of spiritual gifts assessment, who has listened to the series we've been preaching through, and evangelism has come up in their top 3 or 4. Eleanor, what advice would you give them in a minute or less? We've gone over time here, but a minute or less, what advice would you give to them as a next step if this is a surprise to them?
Look, I would encourage them to step out in ways that they can serve. That's out into the community through some of our care ministries, neighbours. Come on a short-term team because there's so many opportunities to share with people and to rub shoulders, hopefully, with people that have the same passion and the same gift. And come along, so be intentional to look for people that just are very natural and authentic in the way they practice the gift of evangelism and step out. You know, the word tells us you have not because you ask not. Ask God for those divine opportunities and be ready to partner with him when he invites us to speak to someone.
Brilliant. And I'd love you to take a moment just to pray for those who are listening and for that gift to be confirmed.
Father, we know and recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And so, Father, I just pray for all those out there that have a sense that, or had it confirmed through this spiritual gifts test, that they have the gift or the passion for evangelism. Father, I pray for each and every person. Would you continue to stir, to fan into flame with a greater passion, that desire to take your word, the good news, the gospel, into all the world, that, Father, they would just have eyes to see the people around them in their workplaces, in their families, amongst their communities. And, Father, just the boldness, where they lack boldness to ask for boldness, but the boldness just to be ready to say, Father, give me one person today that I could share the hope of Jesus to, that I could build up and hopefully, Father, have their eyes open, take them one step closer to coming to know you as their Lord and Savior. So I pray, Father, would you encourage them today? Would you watch over them, protect them? We know the enemy rushes in like a flood when we step out in this gift of evangelism. I pray your protection, but Father, I pray just your encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much, Eleanor. Thanks, Andrew. It's been good. Thank you.
Thank you.